she was this gun-toting, whiskey-drinking broad.
The super epic fucking broad.
She was a pioneer in the industry.
She's also so famous and so controversial.
So controversial.
So she's kind of a big fucking deal.
Her story is so incredible.
She belongs on this podcast because she's a broad you should know. Hello and welcome to Broads You Should Know, the podcast about amazing and noteworthy women from history. I am your host, Sarah Gorski, and I'm here with Chloe Skye.
Oh, in person.
In person here with me in my apartment.
Whoa.
Which actually she just saw for the first time. What are your thoughts?
What's your review?
Five stars?
Incredible. Four? Five stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. It's messy even. I haven't even vacuumed. I didn't vacuum for you, Chloe. I'm sorry.
I will never forgive you.
I felt it.
Y'all should see this patio, though.
Oh, it's crazy good.
Fire.
It's crazy good. Well, I asked Chloe to come for a Broadly Speaking this week, because it's been a little while. We haven't really done a Broadly Speaking, I feel like, in literal months.
It's been several months.
Maybe January?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, I don't even remember what we talked about. Did we do, an end-of-year wrap-up of movies or something?
I think we did.
Maybe that was it.
I think we did. But it's been too long, and we got to do this more often, because there's a lot of shit going down for women and women's rights. And
it's facts.
You know, and in particular, I wanted you here, Chloe, because I really just want to talk about this Bears versus Man meme that the world is going berserk over. And when I say the world, I mean
the whole
toxic
internet.
Masculinity.
Yes. Men don't like it very much.
Men don't like it.
When you say they're scarier than bears.
So for those of you who don't live your life inside the world of memes, like me and Chloe, we do kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
We send each other 30 memes
a day.
That's
how I know what's happening in the world.
Yeah. It's a sign of true friendship when you can just send 30 memes a day and instead of real words, you know?
Yeah. But
for those of you who don't do that in your life, good for you, first of all. That's probably healthy. And second of all, the big news the last 2 weeks, it's very new, I feel like, is that someone, I don't even know the origin, do you? There was a question.
It was on TikTok.
Oh, a TikTok.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone was just asked, would you rather be... trapped in a cage with a guy or with a bear.
No, it wasn't a cage. It was would you rather be alone in the woods?
With a man or a bear?
And people interviewed, they went around the street and they interviewed all of these women. And these women were the chances of being attacked by a bear are something 4,000 to 1 or something like that. And the chances of being harassed or attacked by a man are something crazy, 1 in 3 or something
that. I was going to guess 1 in 2.
Yeah. I mean, even that,
And 1 in 3 is probably
and so,
about right.
All of these women that were interviewed, unprompted, by the way, they weren't fed what to say.
Yeah.
They were I'd rather take my chances with the bear. And men have seen this video. Toxic masculine men. TMM? TM squared? Toxic masculine men.
Yeah, TM squared.
Who are threatened by the thought that any woman would choose another creature over themselves, because they are the epitome of what is, you know, great and right in the world.
Right.
They were extremely offended that women chose the bear. And they've retaliated, and they're flinging shit across the internet. And they can't even believe it. And it's the funniest fucking thing.
Now, every time I see a meme about it, I send it to you immediately.
There's so many memes.
Good ones.
There's I'm still coughing because I was sick last week. What was the one you sent me today? It was
it was the bear with the hat. So women love me, fish fear me.
And then there's one with a bear sitting at a picnic table being I don't know, man, I just treat her like a human being and she seems to like that.
Yeah.
And it just
no interest in coercing her into sex.
Yeah.
Just probably give her the nod.
Just never stops being the reactions of TMMs are never cease to amaze me.
It's hilarious every time.
Them flipping out. And these are the same guys, by the way, who would accuse us of being sensitive snowflakes and shit like that, right?
Always.
These are the same guys who are like, you're taking it too personally.
The Venn diagram is a circle.
It is. It's a
circle. Stop God. Dying. Oh
I
my
told
God.
You to stop making me laugh because I can't handle
I'll
it right
my
now.
Best.
God, Chloe, take
no,
direction.
I can't help it. Whatever. It's just so funny.
It's just, I don't know. It reminds me of that, wasn't it like a couple years ago when there was a similar incident where someone like asked women, like, what would you do if men disappeared for 24 hours? And women were like, I would literally jog at night. I would jog at night.
I remember that.
Because that sounds really nice.
Yeah.
But I like can't do it because it doesn't feel safe. Yeah. And men were like, what? What do you mean you don't feel safe? Like, what do you mean? You, like, that was their reaction.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
What are you talking about? We're not dangerous. We're not. And it's just astonishing. It's like it's the cognitive dissonance, right? Of like not understanding that they are the problem. Like the TMMs, I kind of like this.
I'm for
TMM.
It. I'm all about
Can
it.
Can we coin this? Broads You Should Know
TM
owns
squared.
It. TM squared.
Yep. Start selling merch.
The TMMs are like, so they just are so not understanding that they are part of the problem and that their mindset and the way that they right. are treating women, like that is why women have to carry pepper spray. And that is why women like would prefer to be alone than be with a man. Like that in increasing numbers, women are like, I think I'm just okay being single. I'm like feeling good about this. And men are like, I need another wife. Like after, like in their second or third marriage, or if they lose a spouse or something, women are
they
like, that's
don't know how to do
women
anything.
Are like, I feel great living by myself. And I could hang with my friends and my animals and mm-hmm. do whatever I want.
Take
and men are like, I need a woman to care for me. I can't handle this. It's like increasingly, I don't understand the cognitive dissonance. I don't know.
I wish I could answer that for you.
It's just kind of, it just is like always mind blowing. And that they would be so upset that like that they are the ones who are so offended at not being chosen. It's that like royal,
right?
Royal man status or
it's
something.
Just, I think they're incapable of not putting themselves in the position and being like, "Well, would I rather be in the woods with a woman or a bear? Obviously, a woman, because like me." And then like whatever trails from that is probably the reason women would prefer the bear.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't have to. Bears can't talk. You don't have to listen to them. They can't mansplain to you.
Yeah. You could throw out a stick.
Oh, my gosh. Throw out a stick.
Yeah, you can't do that with a man.
I mean, hopefully, like, you're not that close. Like, in this study, hopefully the bear's not, like, right there.
And also
hopefully
if
the
it
woods
is,
are large.
You just, you know, you just, I'm bigger than you, bear. And then it's like, all right. It goes off to the to the stream to find a fish.
I would pet a bear, probably.
I would definitely pet a bear.
If it's huh. so nice.
I would die the way that guy in Grizzly Man died.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh.
How does he die? Is he mauled?
Yep. Yeah. He's killed by one of his best friends, who he's named. I can't remember the name, but like...
But why? He was hungry? Or he covered himself in honey or something accidentally?
No, he was out there for months. And like months and months and months making a documentary about bears and how much he loves bears. And then the documentary ends because... One day, one of the bears is like, I'm going to eat you. But it took many, many hundreds of days of hanging out with the bears before one of them attacked him. Like, he was going out, like, petting them and, like, putting shirts on them. Not shirts, but, like,
this
he
like...
was out there hanging out with the bears. He was like, I'm going to live with bears forever. That's my life now. And then eventually is killed by a bear.
I mean, that's a Darwin Award, right? That's
totally.
Like self-natural selection
yeah.
at its like peak finest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Wow. And yet somehow that guy seems less toxic than...
Totally.
These
yeah,
guys
yeah, yeah.
that are
yeah.
upset about
because he understood him. You would choose the bear. He chose... He literally put his money where his mouth was and
oh
lived
God.
With the... He was like, I'm going to be in the woods with the bears. All by myself with a camera. And
oh
then
my God.
Eventually a documentary filmmaker will put together all my
And they
footage.
Just like found his footage and then they put it, they
yeah.
like made the show.
Yeah.
I bet his family like made money off that shit too.
Hopefully. I don't know if he had, I don't really even remember if he had a family.
I mean, he probably had parents.
But
he probably was born.
Who's the documentary filmmaker? The German guy, Werner
Herzog?
Yeah. He's the one who like directed it. Just meaning edited it together and did a voiceover. Oh, it hurts.
So anyway, I just want to laugh about that meme with Chloe. So
yeah, worth it.
It is worth it. And there's lots of other stuff. There's also a lot of other shit going down.
Feminist-y stuff going on in the world. We got problems. We got good stuff.
There's a lot of, you know, it's interesting. Like, I know you like separate yourself from the news quite a bit in a healthy way, Chloe. But like,
yep, pretty detached these days.
Generically speaking, generally speaking, there is this thing happening where all of these abortion laws are. More of them are coming into effect in the states.
I'm aware of that.
But also, some of the states are starting to exhibit issues with women's health care, wherein all of a sudden doctors and hospitals are like, well, we can't treat you here, even though you need life-saving treatment. So we're going to fly you to Illinois, or we're going to fly, you know, whatever the state is. And suddenly they're like, this is really expensive. This, all this, like, airlifting women to states that I have safe health care is starting to become like a budgetary problem for people.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they didn't think this through at all.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
It's like this baffling.
They're just trying to outrace China in population.
Except they're not, because like, what happens without abortion is that women die.
Right.
Like, it's not like women are having more babies.
They didn't look at
women die.
The facts. They just thought there would be more kids if they made abortion illegal.
I don't even think that that's what they thought. I think they're just like on a high fucking hill.
I mean,
about their religion and about like you know, living in an ultra conservative religious country. And
I think it's probably both types. It's probably more of that one.
Well, it's all a power grab, and it's all about keeping women down at the end of the day, right? We talk 100%. About this on the podcast all the time. Is that 100%. Like. A woman who cannot control her reproductive future is a woman who will most likely be under the thumb of the patriarchy much more heavily than a woman who's not, right?
Yes.
So it's all about controlling women and taking away their power and keeping them subservient and keeping them
in the house.
Yeah.
Raising the family.
Keeping them poor.
Keeping them
single mothers. Keeping them like... You know, never mind the fathers who impregnated them. Like, never mind.
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
All, you know, we've said it time and time again. You know, they're not pro-life. They're pro-fetus. Mm-hmm. And, like, as soon as the baby's born, they don't give a shit. And they don't put any money towards that. And they don't help people. And it's just, like... People, like, women have been dying the whole time. And they're starting to die more, and they're starting to be their lives are starting to be threatened more.
I have seen some horror stories.
And people's IVF rights are threatened. Like, women are trying to get IVF, and there's clinics who like are like not processing them now because they just don't know like what they can go to jail for. Like, they could go to jail for
That's
like
insane.
Accidentally killing an embryo or some shit.
Right.
I don't even know the details.
It's truly absurd.
It's like this. It's truly dystopian shit.
Yeah.
It's like dystopian healthcare.
Yes, we are so far backwards from, you know, we had a little window of progress and then we just cut out its legs.
And yet, like, we still have a whole bunch of people that are like going to vote for Trump. Like, it's crazy.
I don't
like women included. Like the women of the Republican Party. Like, I don't understand.
I know. It'll be my sister for sure.
It will.
Yeah. My mom won't. She said she's just not going to vote, which I guess is better than...
Better than voting for Trump.
Better than voting for Trump.
We couldn't get her to vote for, like, Jill Stein.
I could make a hard sell.
Man, it's just like... It's really just... It's a discouraging time to be an American woman.
Yeah.
It's discouraging to feel so helpless, like... It just feels like, obviously, like, in California, we're all right. But, like, fuck.
Yeah, for now.
And trans rights, too. I mean, it's all fucking, all of these fucking state legislatures.
Yeah, I'm pretty scared for the election this year.
Yeah, so. I'm scared for you.
Yeah.
And for me, and for all women. I'm even scared for Republican women, because they are the ones who will suffer the most in those red states.
And they just don't even know it. They'll just be like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Again, cognitive dissonance, that the thing you vote for is the thing that's actually taking away. There's something I'll just never understand about, like, the Republican Party's ability to deny the fact that, like, the laws that majority of Democrats have put in place help people and help the poor and, like, help make life better, even if they're not perfect, even right. if, like, the government has problems. And, like, I'm the first person to tell you our government's not fucking perfect, and it makes me insane, and it makes me angry, and it, too, makes me wish we had, you know, two other parties and a more healthy, balanced system. But at the same time, Trump getting in office again is going to mean, like, I mean, the talk I hear even on NPR, who, like, NPR is not necessarily an unbiased source, I will admit. But yeah. they're less biased than, like, than many sources, because yes. they are publicly funded yeah. and, like, they're not, you know. And they do tell both sides of the story. They do interview both Republicans and Democrats. And they don't heavily only do. I find, like, I've heard a lot of stories that I would never have heard unless I was listening to NPR in my car, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, even on NPR, I was listening to a story last night on the way home from the airport where they were talking about how, like, it's actually, like, they were talking about the danger of a third party vote, actually. Because everybody's, I wasn't going to segue into all this shit because it's obviously very controversial and everything is, but, like, you know, a lot of people are really unhappy with Biden.
Sure.
And including myself.
Just done many
and
things
I, for one, just cannot understand why we don't have a blanket ceasefire, like, in Israel, like, on Israel. Like, why do we not, as a country, support, and it has everything to do with money and politics and all this other bullshit, and I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that makes it okay. And I know that Biden, every day he doesn't declare a ceasefire, is losing voters from the Democratic ticket. And, like, even just that reason should be reason enough to declare a ceasefire. Now, that, like, that being said, like, obviously, I think there's much bigger reasons to declare a ceasefire.
Maybe other reasons, too, but you're also correct from a purely political strategy standpoint.
But what, you know, but these people they were interviewing on NPR, I know, I dug into it. I wasn't gonna, because I know a lot of people will actually be upset with me for saying that. Because I do know I have a number of friends who who support Israel. And that's your right to support who you want to support and believe what you want to believe. And I'm not going to shit on you. That's just that's what I believe. That's where I'm at on it.
Yeah.
But
when I see pictures of, like, a literal trail of tears happening in the present day, I'm like, I don't care what anybody did. This is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Period.
And just the sheer volume of lives lost and the, like, I don't care if Hamas is hiding amongst the people. Stop bombing the people.
Right.
Stop bombing the people.
Stop bombing the women and the children.
And the men. I mean, men don't deserve to be bombed either. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy to me. But
they're probably slightly more likely to be Hamas.
Well, and there's lots of complicated things, including the fact that it's not even just Hamas that's in,
right.
like, negotiating these treaties and becoming, like, that's problematic. There's all these different parties. It's way more complex
shoot you with a missile, shoot you with a missile. We don't understand why people are becoming radicalized. Shoot you with a missile, shoot you with a missile. I don't understand why anyone would want to attack us. Shoot you with a missile. Blah, what are you talking about?
I mean, you and I joked at the top here about living in memes, but, like, the situation is far more complicated than any meme and any post or repost or soundbite can describe. And I wish more people would think about that. Like, it's just a more complex issue. It's not black or white, and it's not, like, it's so complex. But I got off track. What I was going to say is the story on NPR last night. They were interviewing people who. They study politics and party systems and things like that. That's what their expertise is, right? And not just American party. Like, they're well studied, but then also they are American institutions, so they're very concerned about the fact that the two-party system right now is very broken, and the fact that if one of the parties, in particular, the Republican Party, which they actually even said out loud on NPR,
mm-hmm.
if the Republican Party gets into power this election in the executive branch, that democracy itself will probably no longer exist because they will continue to dismantle the judicial system and all of these systems.
The amount of damage
which
that happened
keep,
in the 4 years.
In
the first
4 years.
Trump, like, we're close.
You know, and so the whole thing was about how, you know, you know, in a more ideal balanced party system, your third party vote would mean something and it would really send a message. The place to do third party votes is on the ground, though, they were saying, like, at your local level, and getting movements locally that are more, like, progressive in those ways. But doing it for the presidential ticket and is essentially giving the vote to Trump, and that we're very concerned. I don't know. I think there's a lot of Republicans out there that don't even like Trump necessarily, but they are so anti-Biden, or they're so like, we must win.
Right.
But the cost is so great right now. It's so great.
I'm terrified.
It's terrifying. It's your rights. It's my rights. It's everybody's rights. And the system doesn't even protect men either. Men, you're not protected in the system that is so unbalanced and insane. It's just distressing. So I didn't mean to get off on this fucking tangent, but it's on my mind, right? Yeah. So I
hard
just
not to go there when it's everywhere.
I just encourage everybody to, you know, I think we should be protesting. I think we should be trying to make the ceasefire a reality. I just also think we shouldn't throw our votes away in November for a third party, because I think that will, even though I understand that you want to send a message about, you know, what you think about Biden, I just, the cost that will be paid by the people at the bottom, right? Like, who aren't even, like, you and me aren't even at the very bottom, right?
No.
People at the very bottom are the ones who carry the weight of all this fucking shit that's going down. So, anyway, let's talk about pop culture or something. Okay, let's change the topic. Wait, you were talking about the roast of Tom Brady. Tell me about that.
I mean, mostly it's not worth watching, but if you're gonna watch any of it, watch Nikki Glaser. She's like the third or fourth performer. She goes on, she crushes it. She absolutely slays the game. She roasts everybody. She roasts, you know, as you do.
Were they like, they knew they were being like roasted really good too? Like, what was their reaction?
Like, people were standing up and walking around like, oh wow, you got me so good. Like, Kevin Hart was losing his mind. He was like the roast master of the thing. And like, she just hit every person and just like, oh, just
she's like called them out on their bullshit, or like what was she doing?
I mean,
like what were the what was the timbre of the?
There were a lot of jokes about Tom Brady's wife leaving him. There were a lot of jokes about wanting to sleep with Tom Brady. There were a lot
about the guys wanting to sleep with Tom Brady.
About her wanting to sleep with Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the jokes is like, I would shoot my boyfriend in the face for a lottery ticket to sleep with you, like.
Hot? I've never thought he was that hot. He's not my type, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks like, you know, cornbread American white guy, you know, which is
cornbread.
You know, some people are into that. Corn fed, that's what I meant, not cornbread.
Now I'm thinking about cornbread.
It's not wrong. He kind of looks like cornbread. There's like a series of jokes about how Kevin Hart is short. Everyone who's on the stage, there's only two women. It's her and Sam J are the two women on the stage. And
she didn't slay as hard.
She was okay. She did not slay as hard. Nikki Glaser absolutely destroyed this roast. She is the queen and she deserves our respect.
So we should all watch that.
Yes. Skip to Nikki Glaser. Watch her do her thing. If you like football or whatever, I guess like watch the rest of it, because like there's a lot of like football people who go up there and like talk about football stuff and like former players and stuff. Former football players are not good comedians, and the fact that they're up there trying to roast, I was like, this
why were they even brought in?
Because Tom Brady invited like half the stage's comedians and half the stage's like old football
what
buddies.
What producer let that happen?
I don't know. They just, you know, they've
that
been,
is a bad producer
they've
decision.
Been having a tough time doing roasts because nobody wants to be roasted because everybody has like, you know,
everybody's
soft spots.
Too sensitive.
Yeah, so this is like the first roast they've done in several years. And so I think they were just like, yeah, whatever you want. You're willing whatever you want.
How did Tom Brady handle the roasting? Was he game for it?
There were a couple points where you could tell that the jokes were cutting too close to home. Mostly he was a really good sport, but specifically, Like when Nikki Glaser was like really digging in about like losing his family and his kids leaving him and his wife leaving him and nobody loving him anymore. Like it was like, she's the only performer who got a standing ovation after her performance. Lots of people got standing ovations like as they approached the stage, and then people got would get like polite applause afterwards.
That alone makes me want to watch it. It's a little bit. Like to watch like Tom's reaction.
You can see the light fading from his eyes at some of the jokes, and like he just like looks down and he's like he's got like this painted on smile on his face where he's just like, I have to make it look like I'm enjoying this.
That is one of my favorite pastimes. Watching the light fade out of the guy's eyes as they realize the impact of all their decisions.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something too, just like the Nikki Glaser part.
Alright, well everyone look that up.
Yeah.
What else? What have we seen lately? What other feminist shit have we seen? You saw Challengers.
Challengers.
And that was feminist and fun.
Is it
feminist?
It's hard. It's lightly feminist in that Zendaya is like the power person in their like dynamic. Like she's clearly the one with all the power. She clearly is the one who's in charge. But outside of that,
we love her.
Yeah, we do.
We did a whole podcast about Euphoria.
We stand Zendaya. I did do a podcast about Euphoria back in the day.
I don't even know.
And she's great in the movie. There's a point where she like makes the two guys make out with each other and then just sits back and is like, I made you do this.
Oh, like, the boys make out.
Yeah. She's kind of like low key doming them both. They both just want to please her so bad.
I love this for her. Time.
Yeah,
I love this for her.
It's great. Yeah, it's really great. And genuinely just the best movie of the year. Like, from beginning to end, I was just like, edge of my seat. Like, is it possible that I'm still enjoying this much? Because I'm really enjoying this. And then even in the last, like, 20 minutes, I was like, is this getting better? How is this happening? Like, what's going on? There's a couple of scenes towards the very, very end where, like, you know something's going to happen. And they build up to it for so long. They're just, like, edging you. They're like, you know it's coming, but we're not going to give it to you. In fact, this next part's in slow-mo. And it's just, like, and the music is incredible. It's Trent Reznor again.
Oh.
It's one of the... People are going to be talking about this.
Okay, I'm going to go see it. Okay, Jesus. I'm going to go see it.
Incredible. Go see Challengers.
It sounds good.
I loved it so much. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll go see it.
Okay.
I promise. We still haven't, I don't think we have talked since the new season of True Detective came out either.
That's true.
And that was feminist.
That was feminist.
In the sense that
a woman writer, showrunner.
Woman writer and showrunner.
Women in the cast is all the leads.
Two female leads.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster.
Yep.
Fucking great.
And it's once again the story of a woman being killed by a bunch of men and some determined women figuring out who and why.
Spoiler alert. That was a spoiler alert.
Was it?
Well... You don't know who killed the woman.
Well, you don't. I mean, you kind of do. You don't know. I still didn't say who it was. I guess I gave away a little too much.
Sorry, guys. It was a spoiler. It was a spoiler. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, True Detective, you know somebody dies and is murdered.
You already watched it.
You know.
If you're listening to this, you already saw it.
And I actually really liked it. You know, it got super roasted by people who... are obsessed with Nick Pizzolatto.
Was it potentially the TM squareds?
Is possibly TM squared. I think that there is a Venn diagram. The Venn diagram is a circle, right? Like where all of these guys, including himself, didn't Nick Pizzolatto like say a bunch of shit about it?
He
himself?
Did. He came forward and was like, "She ruined my show.
She ruined my show. Women ruined my show.
I can't believe this terrible writing and these stupid ladies everywhere." Like.
And it was the saddest.
Dude, step back. You had one good season and two mediocre ones. Actually, one bad one and one mediocre one. Like, somebody else took over and did better than you did two of your three shots.
I mean, that first season is so amazing.
Yes.
I will, like, give him the cred
for
that season.
Yep.
I'm still kind of mildly obsessed with it, and Time is a Flat Circle, and that came back this season.
Yep.
Much to my, you know... I feel like I use that phrase all the time.
I think that's part of why he was annoyed. It was like, how dare you tie your stupid stuff into my good stuff? Like,
he's still listed as a fucking producer on the show, too. It's not like he's not a part of it.
Right. Yeah, no, he's just...
I think he still makes money off of it, even though he's not the showrunner.
No, he's just butthurt. I know. Nobody wants to work with him anymore, because they found out he only had the one story, and now he's butthurt, because someone else
got butthurt.
Given the keys to his story.
Well, it's another...
Which, on the one hand, I, like, kind of understand.
MWM. We have another acronym. A mediocre white man.
Ah.
Same with Benioff and Weiss, right, for Game of Thrones, right? Where we thought they were
Did
so good.
Did you watch their new show? Three Body Problem?
I turned it on and I fell asleep.
Okay. That's a probably the
But
right
I
reaction.
Thought I should give it another try on A Damn Less Tired, which, like you know, I sometimes fall asleep just because I'm friggin' tired.
It made me want to read the book.
Yeah, I've heard the book is good.
Because it's an interesting concept and an interesting story and a terrible show.
Okay.
Like, I watched it. I watched the whole thing because I was just like, well, I want to know what happens. Like, this is an interesting story. But, like, the way everything happens is so dumb. And it was like, it just felt like watching the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones.
I feel like I saw people raving about it. I got to check it out.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Well, maybe I won't give it another try. Maybe there's other shit worth my...
I mean, do you, but I don't recommend.
Ugh. But Nick Pizzolatto and Benioff and White, all these guys... Like, just
Kiss
shut.
Away a lot
like,
of...
honestly, if you just kept your mouth shut, you actually probably might still be in a position of power. But then you're like, no, I gotta shoot off my ego. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's right. like,
the
oh.
The fact that he couldn't just keep his fucking mouth shut, just collect your check. Collect your check. Fund your own next thing. Just shut up. Just why do you feel the need?
Yeah. Is it? Do you think it's
to trash the show while it's airing? Even if you waited a couple of years, I might respect it a little bit more. Once your feelings have died down, and it's like, I just didn't like, you know, they gave somebody else my baby, and they did something I wouldn't have done. You know, like as a writer, I like kind of get that. Like if I created some hit thing, and then they just were like, we don't want you in charge of it anymore. We like this other person. I'd be like, okay.
I mean, it's the industry, and like, it's how the industry works. It's how studios work. It's like. You know, once the thing is out in the world, it's like not yours anymore.
Right.
In its own way. Like, no matter
but
what your
agreement
is.
But also, like, if you just promoted the show, you'd probably get paid more. So
yeah.
I don't understand.
What a bummer.
I don't understand.
What a bummer that he's just such a fucking putz.
Yeah.
Man, that's a bummer. But I liked I actually liked it.
I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't as, like, it wasn't, for me, it wasn't as, like, fully, like, pulling in as, like, the first season.
Right.
Like, the first season was,
it
like,
is my
incredibly
second favorite
epic.
Season of the show.
But it was great. Jodie Foster was great. Oh, my gosh. What's that actress's name? The other lead.
No, I can't remember.
I should have looked it up.
Yeah.
She was great, too. And oh, there were just a lot of great female characters. And the setting was fascinating. Like, above the Arctic Circle after the sun sets for, like, months. Fascinating.
Many
I'm like watching scenes. I'm like
very hard making this show, and you can tell.
Yeah, I really
looks
liked
like it.
It
was a pain in the ass to make that.
I bet it was cold. I'm sure.
Yep.
Very cold. I filmed a movie in the cold once.
All night shoots.
Yeah.
Okay.
All night shoots.
Ugh. For however many months.
In the freezing. Yeah.
That sounds bad. It sounds really bad.
I really liked it, and I didn't call. I did
great.
Not quite call the ending actually. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
I don't want to like spoil
I
anything else on the podcast,
either.
But so when I don't guess the ending, I'm always like a pretty impressed because usually I guess the ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually I'm like, oh, it's that, and usually it's like 5 minutes into the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And then I like hate myself for 2 hours for you know being able to fucking figure things out.
I usually am the same way, and I was like, there's gotta be an explanation, but I can't think of it, and then they did it.
I know, the tongue, I was like, oh, the tongue, it's like, it's related.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, find out, at the first episode, there's, like, a tongue on the ground, and you're like, what the fuck?
And that's not the only thing you're like, what the fuck about.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
Man, it was great.
I have to end, unfortunately.
I know, we have to wrap it up. So. Thank you guys for being here, and come back next week. Chloe, thanks for being here this week. And,
so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you, always happy to have you, and in person!
Right?
Maybe we can do this more often.
We probably will. I'm moving in.
She's moving into my building. Upstairs. This is the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. So I will see you next week, audience. And Chloe, we will see you soon. And we'll see you next week for another Broad You Should Know. Did you know we've got an amazing database of all the women we have covered on this podcast at our website, broadsyoushouldknow.com. While you're there, click on over to the About page and you can read more about me and Chloe, our bios, photos, links to all of our cool stuff, all right there. Are you following Broads You Should Know on social yet? We are on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. YouTube at Broads You Should Know and Twitter at BYSK Podcast. To suggest a broad, fill out the form on our website or email us at broadsyoushouldknow@gmail.com. If you are a fan of this podcast, share an episode with your friends and family or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or do both. You'd be our best friends because that helps new listeners to find us. Broads You Should Know is produced by me, Sarah Gorski, and edited by Chloe Skye, with original music by Darren Callahan. Finally, if you enjoyed our chatter, we've got a lot of other broadly speaking episodes you can check out with me and Chloe talking it up. But you also should check out our original Barbenheimer series. We cover the movie review of Chloe and Zach and I. And we also talk about Ruth Handler, our broad who invented Barbie. And then we also did a little mini series on the real story of what happened at Los Alamos, where Oppenheimer took place, as told by Elisa Lynn Valdez. So check out those episodes, and we will see you next week for another Broad You Should Know.